Welcome into Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Football Giants. Well, it was quite a different sight for Big Blue out in Oakland, with Geno Smith instead getting the start over Eli Manning under center. Geno's first full-time start as a quarterback since 2015, but it was not enough for the Giants as they lose to the Oakland Raiders 24-17. As I bring in my panel of Giants greats, today on set we have Dave Deal, Antrell Roll, Amani Toomer. Guys, a hard-fought loss for the Giants, their 10th of the season. Your initial thoughts?
Yeah, obviously you love the way that they went out there and fought in this football game, and you love that they stuck together. But just in the long run, this is where you see those injuries continue to show up. And more importantly, not being able to overcome opportunities that are given to you in key football games like this one on the road. And when you do that and you give another team life, you're giving them more possessions and you're just taking that life that you need on the road to take them out of it. What do you think, Antrell?
Right. Possessions that we definitely need. I like to see special teams. I like what they possessed today into this football game. Missed opportunities. I think that hurt us. You know, we definitely need that more on the offense side of the ball, trying to keep things rolling.
Yeah, you definitely saw the effort out there. You definitely saw some execution was a little bit better, a little crisper. The defense, played a lot better with more effort. But we come back to the same things week after week. This offensive line continuously lets this team down. Two sack fumbles for Geno Smith. One in the red zone that could have put them up an extra 3 points, gave them a little cushion going into halftime.
Speaking of the quarterback and Geno Smith, that was a big story this week, of course. Eli Manning snapping his 210-game start at quarterback, but this was Geno Smith and his numbers today, his first start as a Giant. Dave, let's start with you as we take a look at these numbers. What was your assessment of his play today?
You know, obviously you have to protect the football when you're going up against elite pass rushers like you were in Oakland. So keeping two hands on the football is very crucial. But down the stretch, he made some big plays for this offense. The touchdown that he made for Ingram to start inching them back into the football game. Sure enough, Oakland is able to respond. But when you look at that last drive that they had offensively, it's the same exact problems that they've had in other games with Eli Manning at the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. You have a 2nd and 5, you have a drop by your wide receiver. You have a 3rd and 5, a sack by your offensive line. So it's over and over the same types of things. But I love the way that they moved him in the pocket, changing the launch point, doing things to run nakeds and bootlegs to try helping out this offensive line that's beat up, which he did a good job at doing, and that was an advantage for the Giants offense.
Geno did a pretty good job of moving around in the pocket. Like you said, you definitely want to see him keep two hands on the ball, especially when you have that beast of Khalil Mack coming off the end.
Yeah.
But the thing I would like to see more of with the Giants, I would like to see a little bit more of an efficient running game. I think if you give them more of an efficient running game, it takes the pressure off Geno, Eli, whoever it may be at the quarterback at that particular point in time. And then let's see how the offense can move the ball, because he did some things to keep the ball rolling, keep drives going, but it just wasn't enough to hold off the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I like what Mike Sullivan did, trying to get draws and screens and trying to find ways to create offense, try to nullify the lack of offensive line production. I like that, but when they started throwing, I think in the first half, they threw 5 screens, and by the end of the first half, they couldn't even throw any more screens because people knew what was coming. But you like the effort, you like the fact that you see new people playing, and you're seeing people out there on the field cherishing their opportunities to be out there and show what they can do for 2018.
Well, it seemed as though it was good at some times, as you had mentioned, Dave, you know, moving the ball and moving with his legs and whatnot. But the first 3 drives of the game, 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, we heard that word a lot. What was the problem there?
I think that goes to, once again, a lack of the running game. When you're on the road and you have a defense like that that doesn't respect the run, you're going to be able to pin your ears back like Khalil Mack did and Bruce Irvin and go straight to the quarterback and play the run that way. And I think that was something that led to a lot of problems that they had today on 3rd down. It's when you play behind the chains on 1st and 2nd downs and you give up negative plays and you have inexperienced tackles and then you put them on an island like Wheeler is one-on-one against Khalil Mack, an elite pass rusher. This is what happens in this game.
Well, right tackle Chad Wheeler went down in this game as well. So the injury is continuing to pile up for the offensive line. How much has this hurt them today and going forward.
I mean, I really liked what, going back to Geno Smith, I liked what he did. I thought that, you know, the first three and outs probably had to do with the fact that he hasn't played since 2015, real snaps. I mean, preseason snaps aren't the same as when you're playing against guys that are in the playoff hunt like they were in the Raiders today. But, you know, the one thing that I've always liked about Geno Smith is his resilience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you start three and out for the first three opportunities. It doesn't stop him. He keeps moving, and I liked what I saw with him. He kept fighting. He was in it. He took advantage of his opportunity, and that's the only thing he could do in a situation that's not ideal for anybody.
Yep.
And he clicked with one wide receiver, or tight end in particular, Evan Engram, catching his sixth touchdown. That breaks a Giants rookie record held by Bob Tucker. What were your thoughts on Evan Engram, again, coming through big for the Giants offense?
Obviously, you love seeing him play consistent because this is what you expect out of him. Last week in Washington, some big drops in that football game that could have helped him. But go back to that touchdown, a great catch, that last drive, that huge third and one, one-handed grab. Those are the things that you expect out of him and that you need out of your elite players. And then the other one that you started to see emerge and step up and make plays, and I know we talked about it, was Sterling Shepard. Yeah. It was great to see him back in the lineup, taking some of that attention away from Evan Engram and the other players that opened up opportunities for those guys on the outside. But when you have drops, when you can't capitalize on them, that's a problem, especially when you start working in third down and you need those wide receivers to help you in your production and get the confidence of a quarterback starting his first game.
Like we've talked about in several weeks before, when you have players that are no-name players that are trying to make a name for themselves, they have to capitalize on these opportunities.
Yeah.
So when you have a third and eight, a third and nine situation like that, you can't have drop balls. Great to see Sterling Shepard back, obviously taking some of the pressure off Evan Engram. Evan Engram is a guy that once he works on that concentration and understand that you must catch the ball first before you run, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with within this league.
I think this is a good opportunity for the Giants to give him experience because right now he's an inexperienced player. And why I say he's inexperienced is because when you're a guy that drops balls a lot, when you're a guy that, you know, doesn't always, you know, consistently run the right, you know, the depth and all this, that's what an inexperienced player does. The fact that Evan Engram is making the plays, you can see him growing right in front of our eyes, and it's good to see. That's one positive shining light that we're going to see. We're going to see Evan Engram a lot, and by next year this time, when they're back to being in a situation where they can be competitive, he's going to be much more ready and prepared for the amount of opportunities that he's getting right now.
We have to take a quick break here on Giants Post Game Live. Ben McAdoo will speak to the media after the break. But first, Giants fans enter for a chance to win a Canon EOS 6D Mark II DSLR body at Adorama.com/Giants. Adorama, the official retailer of the New York Football Giants. Giants lose 24-17 in Oakland. We'll be right back with more reaction from the Coliseum. And welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. The Giants lose 24-17 to the Oakland Raiders. Right now, let's head back out to the Coliseum out west, where Paul Dottino is standing by with the tight end, Evan Engram.
Evan, we talked during the week about Geno Smith with the scramble rules that you guys would have to keep in mind. How often did you have to use them today?
A couple times. Geno kept play alive, extended plays, and guys have their marks on the field. We just got to just stick to them.
One-handed grab that you made, you climbed the stairs. Have you made one that spectacular in your college career before? It's pretty
probably
good.
Probably not. I was just going up and try to make a play for the team.
Do you make a lot of one-handed ones in practice?
We work on it just as a drill. And it's kind of just instinct, just go up and get the ball.
Six touchdown. What is this about you? You seem to find the end zone a lot.
Just trying to show up for my team. When the ball's in the air, especially in the red zone, I take pride in going to get it. And the rest of the offensive guys set it up. I just finished it.
Final question. With all the distraction and the headlines that went around this week, how hard was it to concentrate on this game and focus on football?
It was kind of in between. It was tough. Tough news in the locker room, and it was tough to kind of handle. But, I mean, we knew we had the game today, so we had to stick to it, stick to working hard and preparing.
Evan Engram, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
Evan Engram, stellar day, 7 catches, 99 yards in that touchdown, his 6th on the season. Amani, I'll toss this one to you. A lot of talk this week was about Geno Smith and his ability to make plays with his legs, his scrambles out of the pocket. Players were asked, How does this change your game plan or your mindset? They said it doesn't. Mm-hmm. As a wide receiver, does it change?
It does, because usually when you have a quarterback that's going to get the ball on rhythm, you know that as pretty if the ball doesn't come at a certain pace to come at you at a certain time, then the play is pretty much over. But mm-hmm. with Geno, you know it's going to be a constant. You're going to be in constant motion. It's like almost like playing basketball out there, because you just never know when the ball is going to come. And I think all the receivers really, they most of them really played well, and most of them kind of adjusted to what the new situation was pretty seamlessly. And Evan Engram obviously a little bit, and Shepard obviously a little bit better than the rest.
Antrell, defensively, you've been in the situation where you've prepared for a future Hall of Fame quarterback, and you studied their film. How difficult is it defensively to just jump in and catch up on Geno Smith?
Well, it's extremely difficult when you have any kind of agile quarterback that can use his legs as well as his arm. Yeah. It buys so much time for the defenders. You're running around and you're scrambling for 5-6 minutes at a time. And, a lot of times you don't know to attack. If he's going to run for the first down, is he going to try to make you come up and throw for the first down? So a lot of times you're in no man's land. So the best thing to do is just keep your eye on your defender, or if you're playing zone, just stay in the zone and just try to force them out of bounds if they get close to the out-of-bounds line. Mm-hmm. That way they can no longer touch the ball, and just try to compete to the best of your abilities.
And for you, Dave, you're protecting a pocket passer for as long as you can know, and now all of a sudden you've got a guy who can scramble with his feet. How difficult is that to work with if you're an offensive lineman?
It actually benefits you as an offensive lineman. Why? Because you can move the launch point. It allows your offensive tackles and this offensive line that are replacing starters to be more aggressive. They can tee off on the line of scrimmage. They can show run. But the whole thing about that is, you have to be able to run the ball in order to get defenses to respect it and force the defense to play 11-on-11 football with a quarterback like Geno Smith, who can use his legs. So if you don't get an efficient run game and you're not getting those gains on first and second down, having a mobile quarterback doesn't matter, because you're taking away the asset of him running the football and that threat by not being able to do it with your other players.
All right, well, we got to head back to the Oakland Coliseum, where Paul Dottino spoke with Calvin Munson after the game.
Calvin, beast mode, had that 50-yarder early in the game, but after that, boy, did he have to work tough for those yards. How difficult was it to deal with him?
A lot of credit to him. He's a great running back. He runs hard, and, a lot of credit. We were just trying to we knew he was going to run hard, so we were just trying to stop him. We give him credit, but, we also made some plays.
Defense kept this team in the game all the way until late into the fourth quarter. You even had a sack on Carr. That had to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it felt good. Honestly, it really wasn't my play. I kind of made the tackle, but some of the other guys made the play for me by taking up the block. So, a lot of credit to those guys. We're just trying to keep working hard and just keep getting after it.
We've talked a lot about the injuries and how many different guys have had to come in off the street, even this week. Uh-huh. How difficult was it to keep everything in sync on defense?
It's difficult, and then it's not. Everybody's rallying around each other. We know we're going through some adversity right now, and we're just trying to push through it and just kind of do the best we can.
Calvin Munson, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Back to you guys.
Thank you very much, Paul. Antrell, I'll ask this one to you. The first question that Paul asked Calvin Munson was stopping Marshawn Lynch. That was a huge key to this game, and Marshawn Lynch got over 100 yards rushing for the first time since 2015. He's a bruiser. He just runs over people with no regard. How hard is it to prepare for someone like that? And how hard was it for the Giants defense to stop him? Because they couldn't contain him today.
Well, I've played against Marshawn a couple times in my career, and he's exactly that. He's a bruiser. What you have to do as a defense is you have to gang tackle him. You want to get him to stop his feet, shuffle his feet a little bit, and then gang tackle. If he has a line and he creates and he gets up to that second level, it's going to be hard for linebackers and more than anything, defensive backs to bring him down in one-on-one tackling. So if you don't gang tackle him, you're going to have a 51-yarder.
Yeah.
He's a tough guy to bring down. Let's just call it what it is.
All right, we got to take a quick break here. We still have to hear from head coach Ben McAdoo from the Oakland Coliseum. The Giants lose 24-17. Guests of our postgame show received a gift certificate to Ben and Jack's, located on 5th Avenue and 28th Street in Manhattan. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben and Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. Plenty more to talk about here on Giants Postgame Live. As we mentioned, the head coach, Ben McAdoo, will speak to the media when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Line, presented by Mercedes-Benz. The Giants lose to the Oakland Raiders 24-17. And with that, we bring in our two guys on the field, Howard Cross, Paul Dottino, standing by from the Coliseum. Guys, take it away.
Thank you so much, Courtney. Now, Howard, a lot was made during the week about Geno Smith's ability to move and get out of the pocket. Now, he ran three times for 13 yards in terms of his rushing totals, did get sacked three times. But from your perspective on the field, Howard, how effective do you think his legs and his movement was?
He had to run. You know, when you got breakdowns on the outside, you got Khalil Mack out there, of course, rushing like that. And Irving, they were doing a great job on the outside. Just need a little help chipping. If you chip, you take another guy out of coverage. I mean, out of reception. He just had to run. He did a good job moving around. It kept him from getting sacked. The problem was when he was getting sacked, he was also fumbling the ball.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that I thought was interesting, because we had heard that Coach McAdoo emphasized to Geno Smith during the week, one thing you must do is keep two hands on the ball at all times. Do not give it up. He has had a history of fumble issues. Well, what happened in this one? He fumbled twice on strip sacks.
Hey, strip sacks are important. You know, they have great defensive ends making plays, but when you get there, it's going to be hard to do it.
All right. Shane Smith standing by. And, guys, he had a block punt and was able to get in on that and nailed a kicker. And, you know, Shane, we've known a lot about you in terms of your rookie undrafted free agent. You make this team, fullback, linebacker, special teams. You're doing it all. It had to feel good to make a big play there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I was on the practice squad for a couple of weeks, I worked really hard, especially in working on my fundamentals. And I was going against first-team punt a lot, working on my get-offs for return. And it definitely paid off, and I think it showed today.
What is the key to being able to make a play like that? Is it strictly hustle? Is it a technique thing? How do you get in there?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's effort and a quick get-off. You got to get right off the ball real fast, and you got to get in there.
Now, in terms of what happened with special teams today, I thought you guys have had some rough games, but a real good bounce back. You didn't give up much in terms of return yardage today at all. Mm-hmm. I thought there was a real concentrated effort to hold them deep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, they got a great returner, kick returner in CP. So, you know, we made an effort to game plan against that. And, you know, we did a really, really great job today, and I think Coach Quinn will be happy about it.
Shane, we talked a lot about how this defense had a lot of new names, guys coming off the street even over the last few weeks. But that happens a lot on specials, too, because everybody knows those guys have to play specials.
Yeah.
How hard was that to get everybody on the same page?
You know, Coach Quinn does a great job coaching everyone up, and honestly, he keeps things simple. You know, he always uses the analogy like In-N-Out Burger. They do just, you know, a couple, you got a double-double and a 3x3 and a cheeseburger, and that's it, and they do it really well. So that's pretty much kind of like our motto. You know, we do a couple different things, but we do it really well.
Congratulations on a terrific effort by you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, we'll be back with more of Giants Post Game Live here on MSG right after this.
Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. The Giants are 2-10 after losing to the Oakland Raiders this afternoon, 24-17. After the game, head coach Ben McAdoo spoke to the media.
I thought the guys competed hard today. They played their tails off, got to execute better, came up short, but I'm proud of the way they fought today. We'll open it up.
Ben, there was a report this morning. I mean, do you expect to be the head coach here
tomorrow? I'm going to coach this team as long as my key card works. You know, got a great group of players. The coaches got a great staff to work with. I want to show up ready to go tomorrow and get this thing cleaned up and move on to the next one.
Has ownership addressed that with you, that report?
I'm going to coach this team until, you know, I'm told I'm not coaching this team. So, going to show up tomorrow morning ready to go to work.
Did they tell you you're good?
What's that? I'm not asking, and I haven't heard a thing. So I'm going to keep my head down and keep doing my job until I hear otherwise.
Anything else?
How do you think Geno did?
I thought Geno competed at a high level. There are a couple fumbles. We'll have to take a look at the tape. I know one he was throwing, trying to pull it back. and they got it away from him. The ball got ripped out of his hands there. Led a nice two-minute drive at the end of the ball game, did some creating, threw a nice ball to Evan there for the touchdown, and I thought he competed.
The fan reaction this past week regarding what you did with Eli has not been very positive, to say the least. Are you concerned what the fans will be like Sunday at the home game?
No, I'm not concerned. Listen, I understand where the fans are coming from. If I was on the outside looking in, I'd feel the same way they feel. Eli and I have a tremendous relationship. I think the world of him. It was hard for me emotionally at the beginning of the week, but once you make the decision, you have to stick with it. And I appreciate the way Eli handled things this week. He was a pro.
Ben, does Geno get another start now?
We're going to go back, take a look at the tape, and we'll make a decision early in the week.
Ben, what happened with Eli Apple with
the hip injury? Eli Apple had a good day of practice on Wednesday and Thursday. And then showed up Friday. He was sore, wasn't able to go through our walkthrough that day, and wasn't able to go today. If he had to fight through it, I'm not sure that that would have been a good, smart move for us. So we erred on the side of caution.
So, Ben, did Geno not show enough to you to warrant another start? I mean,
we said we're going to take it 1 week at a time, and, these games are emotional. So to stand up here and make a decision right here after the football game is not a good way to go about business. We need to go take a look at the tape first and put our heads together and see what direction we want to go. But Geno didn't do anything today that would cost him an opportunity, no.
Were you aware before the game of that report that said you were going to lose your job?
There was a little birdie told me that something was out there. But, again, I'm not. That's not something I'm worried about.
I'm just wondering how that changed the game day. I mean, that's got to be a distracting thing a couple hours before.
No, maybe for weak-minded individuals, maybe a distraction, but I had a job to do.
Why was Davis inactive?
That was a decision. We put the best 46 up we thought could win the football game this week. We'll take a look at it again next week.
And will you give Davis Webb more opportunities this week in terms of reps?
Again, it's emotional right here after the ball game. We have to go put our heads together, look at the film, and we'll have a plan early in the week.
What kind of plan did you have for Geno? And was it, how much different was it maybe than you do for Eli in a normal week?
What do you mean? What type of
game plan? Were you going into the game offensively?
Preparation-wise, we put a plan together. We try to do things that best suit Geno. We're going to, if he's the guy moving forward this week, we will tweak some more things and, have some additions in there for him and subtract some things. And you don't want to do too much too early right away when it's his first week, but obviously his skill set allows you to do some different things.
And what kind of an impact did Eli have on the sideline there? Did you see like a couple times he was having conversations with the offensive players?
Yeah, Eli was into the ball game. He did a great job as a number two, being a sounding board for Geno and for Solly over there. He was doing everything that he could do as the number two to help us win the ball game.
When will you make a decision, I guess, on who's going to start against Dallas?
Early in the week. We need to go back. We need to watch the film, take a look at it, put our heads together. At some point in time tomorrow, we'll make that call.
Announcing it publicly like you did this past week?
We need to put our heads together and make a decision.
The job status thing hanging out there, would you like to go, are you going to go to ownership, or do you feel like that's something you would need to do moving forward here?
No, I'm going to do my job. I have a job to do. I'm going to put my head down, do my job, put a good plan together, and put these guys in a position to be successful. That's my job.
Two more. For the quarterback decision.
I didn't hear the beginning of the question.
You're going to put your heads together about the decision for the quarterback. Is that you and the coaching staff, or does that include other people?
Yeah, me, the coaching staff, and I'm going to bounce it, obviously, off of Jerry Reese. Yep.
Anything else?
All right, thank you.
That was the head coach, Ben McAdoo. He says that these games are emotional. They were hard-fought loss. They should have executed better. But I think one of the biggest takeaways that he said from that press conference was that Eli Manning was a total team player on the sidelines today, obviously not getting his first start since 2004. Your reaction to Eli Manning not starting and just how much of a team player he is.
But that's something that we've seen throughout our entire career of who Eli Manning is as a person, the type of character he is, and the teammate that he is. I mean, when everything happened the other day, when Bob Pop and I walking through, he's sitting there the day after having breakfast with Davis Webb talking about formations and wide receiver combinations and different routes. And that's just who he is as a football player. And that's why he has the respect of players like us who have played with him. Yeah. And that's why he has the respect about so many other players that stepped out and talked about him as a quarterback. So, you know, you're not really surprised about that action. And, you know, when you talk about Geno Smith in this football game, he did do some great things. Obviously, putting the football away and tucking on and not giving the turnover away is something that he's dealt with in his career. Because when you get a block punt like Shane Smith had, and then two plays later you have a sack, force fumble, fumble recovery, it's null and void. And when you're on the road and you have not the weapons that you have on offense and your defense needs a big play, you've got to capitalize on that.
Yeah. Amani, do you think this is a tough decision, deciding who gets that start next week since it is a home game?
Well, I think what you got to think about is what's the purpose of the whole benching? Are they going to try and get Davis Webb some opportunities? Because if that's the point, then you really should start to try and move towards getting him in. Geno Smith played well. You know that he, you know, you kind of know what he can do. It's a very cluttered situation right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that the only person that really knows what direction he wants to take this football team is Ben McAdoo, the head coach.
Antral, your thoughts as well?
Well, first and foremost, speaking about Eli, not only as a football player and as a professional, but Eli is an all-around great guy. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we've all witnessed in being here with him in our tenure here at the Giants. So being a constant pro and helping those younger guys develop, he is going to do just that. As a football player, he's not taking anything personal. It's more within his game. It's more within the organization. But from player to player, he's not going to hold any grudges over Geno Smith or Webb's head. He's going to help them be the best that they can be, and he's going to definitely support them on the sideline. Now, as far as Geno Smith, like Money said, he hasn't played since 2015, a real full-out football game. If I haven't played since 2015, I don't know what I would do. I don't know. Let's just call it what it is. Yeah. So, I think he came out there, and he was very poised. Obviously, he has to hold onto the ball a little bit more, but I feel like his overall game put them in position to at least move the football and put them in position to score. Have to capitalize being in the red zone. And I think once you make this move with Geno Smith, you have to kind of stick with that. If you're going to try to get Webb some more reps, then you know, have to work him into the game plan, obviously, a little bit more to see what you have in both quarterbacks.
And in regards to all of this, I mean, once again, evaluating this game and evaluating Geno Smith, at the end of the day, we're going to be talking about the same things. 5 of 14 on third down.
Yeah.
24 rushes for 65 and only a 2.7 average. Like, so it's the same issues with this offense over and over.
Yeah.
And it's hard to evaluate him with the way that he's played in the up and down because he hasn't had the benefit of a receiver catching it in a game like he had and have receiver drops and no run game and a hurt offensive line. It puts any quarterback in a tough position.
Yeah, certainly. I can agree with you on that one. All right. We still got plenty more here to come on Giants Post Game Live. When we come back, we will reveal the heck toughest player of the game. Back on Giants Post Game Live. Stay with us. And welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. It is time to announce today's toughest player of the game, driven by the Hess toy truck. Drum roll, please, gentlemen. Any guesses? That player is...
I don't think it's going to be that hard.
Evan Ingram.
Yeah. Surprise.
We've been talking about him all show. 7 catches, 99 yards, his 6th touchdown on the year. That's an average of 14.1 yards per catch. Wow. Well, another wide receiver of Geno Smith stood by with Paul Dottino. He's standing on the field at Oakland Coliseum with Tavares King. Take it away, guys.
Okay, guys, and Tavares, you know, I have to understand what you guys must have been going through on offense this week with all the headlines, all the swirling things going on. How difficult was it to concentrate, get on the same page, and focus on what you had to do today?
You know, it wasn't too difficult. You know, we do a good job of, you know, keeping the main thing, and that's ball. The main thing, and that's ball. And, you know, that's what we did all week. You know, we came out here today and, you know, tried to execute, fell short, had a few mishaps, and didn't execute like we should have.
Now, Geno Smith does throw a bit of a different ball than Eli Manning does. It looks like he's got a little more zip on it. You know, I don't have to catch it like you do. But could you talk about the adjustments you guys had to make in the live game situation with a different quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, the adjustments are there. You know, Geno does have some zip on the ball, but, you know, I feel like we as the wideouts and pass catchers, we got to be better for him. You know, we got to make the ones that's there. We got to make the critical catches, and we got to be better for him.
What, in your mind, were some of the difficult things that you guys had to do to sustain some drives? Because it looked like a couple times, you know, you might have got something going, and then all of a sudden something broke down, and you had to give the ball up again. And even though this game was close down the stretch, you didn't have enough.
Just execution. Bottom line, execution. You know, I go back to, you know, third down play. I didn't get open. So just execution. We got to execute and hit plays we need to hit.
Tavares King, thanks for your time.
All right, thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Amani, we'll ask this question to you. As there's a guy kind of chilling in the back of that interview. We all had a nice little laugh.
Photo bomb and then hurt him.
I mean, he came out of the black hole. They just won a game. He wanted his TV time. Anyways, let's discuss TK. Have you been impressed by how quickly he's picked up the offense? It's still having an impact on.
Well, I think he's picked up the offense, but there was some plays that we and Antrell were watching today that he just wasn't patient enough at the top of the route. He let the defensive back dictate the depth of the route and, you know, not having the impact that his ability really could have him on the game. I think he was a little disappointing today.
See, they kept the offensive lineman out of the wide receiver, defensive back.
Spoken like a true receiver right
there. We don't hold back
here. We got the athletes over here.
All right, guys.
Turn his hips.
I think you guys can all suit up and go back onto the field. I think you're all in good shape. We have to take a quick break because the man of the hour is at the podium, Geno Smith.
Judy obviously got off to a slow start, but how do you feel the flow went throughout the game, and how comfortable were you leading the offense?
Early on we were getting behind the chains, and you know, they had a great pass rush, so, you know, we knew all along we had to get the ball out, you know, pretty fast. And, you know, early on, I mean, we tried to hit them with a couple screens just to kind of slow down the pass rush. But, you know, I think as the game went along, you know, we started getting to a groove. I think our line did a tremendous job. I mean, they got two of the best pass rushers in the game. But, you know, they kind of kept them at bay for a little bit. And, you know, we were able to kind of put some drives together late, you know, just ran out of time.
What did Coach McAdoo do? What has he said to you? Said anything to you about how your play was today?
Usually we talk about that after we watch the tape. You know, he shook my hand and told me, you know, he liked the way I competed. And, you know, that was pretty much it.
What was so frustrating about how that game ended?
I mean, I just hate to lose, you know. I don't want to lose at all, at anything. So, I was upset that we lost. You know, I felt like we had some opportunities and we could have taken advantage of them. But, you know, you can't really, you know, cry over spilled milk. You just got to kind of pick yourself up and get ready for next week.
There was a report this morning that your coach would be fired, if not possibly tomorrow. Did you hear that and see that? And did that distract you at all going into this?
No, I didn't see that. And, you know, I love Coach Mack. I think we all do. I enjoy playing for him. I want to continue to play for him. As long as I can. But I did see one of my ex-coaches say he didn't want me to be his quarterback, and that really upset me. You know, the guy that we saved his job, 2013, you know, we fought our ass off for him both years, and for him to come out and say that just shows you how much of a coward he is.
What coach are you talking about?
Rex Ryan.
Gino, preparing for Oakland's defense, what were some specifics they told you to look out for?
Man, 52 and 51, you know, two of the best in the game, two of the best pass rushers. They really, you know, got after it today. Khalil made two good plays on me. I wish, you know, I could have those back. But unfortunately, you know, those things you got to learn from.
Were you surprised at how fast he was in the sack and stroke?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I was actually caught, you know, getting ready to throw a pass to the end zone. You know, I felt like we had a pretty good look there. And unfortunately, you know, he got there and got the ball out.
When were you aware of it, Rich?
You know, I was just sitting in my room watching, you know, because you got the time difference. So I'm just watching a little bit of, you know, football and, you know, see that happen. And it's like, wow, you know, it's a guy first of all, you drafted me. Second of all, you started me. Third of all, I went out there and I gave you everything I had. And then you go out and say that, you know, it's unfortunate.
All right, we have to take a quick break here on Giants Post Game Live. That's because after this segment, we will hear from Eli Manning. And then we will discuss all of the quarterbacks when we come back on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz.
I look at other guys, I understand it. You know, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not, I think when you're in this situation, kind of whatever happens, there's a reason and you have to accept it.
Eli, is there a way that this could have been done that would have made you feel different or would have been easier?
You know, I don't blame anybody for the way it was handled. I think Coach McAdoo, tried to do something right by me by saying, "Hey, we're gonna let you play," but just the just knowing I was gonna come out of the game, I couldn't play that way. You know, I appreciated it. You know, I thought he was trying to be do me a favor, but it just wasn't. It's just not the way I could go into a game knowing I'm be pulled out. So. I appreciate him. I appreciate them kind of giving me that option. But I think he understood that also when I said I can't do it that way.
Would you felt differently if it was more open-ended rather than him saying that Gino would start the second half defensively?
I don't know. You know, hey, this is I don't deal with the what-if game. So this is what it is.
What's your reaction to the report that Ben could get fired as early as tomorrow?
I don't want that. I don't want anybody to get fired. You know, when a coach gets fired, it's usually because the team and the players and myself haven't performed up to our duties, and so I don't want to see that. I hope there's no truth to it.
Eli.
All right, so we heard from Geno Smith last segment. Eli Manning right there. I guess we will start off with the veteran wide receiver in the group, Imani Toomer. I think you wanted to discuss a war of words between Geno Smith at the podium and his former head coach, Rex Ryan. What were your thoughts on the way that he went off? A reporter asked him a question. He said he was disrespected by some things that he said, but then he continued. Were you surprised by that?
I was surprised because the only person that cares about the relationship between you and Rex Ryan is you. I'm sure Rex Ryan is over there doing his job right now and not caring anything about Geno Smith. So you can't waste energy on things that aren't beneficial. Like, you have no control of what Rex Ryan thinks of you. He's fired. He's not even in the NFL. You're still in the NFL. You have a job to do. You had a great game today. Considering you haven't played in since 2015, just work on that. Just go from there. Move forward. Just like how Eli was in his, he wasn't throwing Ben McAdoo under the bus. He wasn't doing anything like that. He was just talking about moving forward in a positive direction. Because at the end of the day, nobody cares. But you're the only person. Geno Smith is the only person that cares about what Rex Ryan said about him. And he's the only person.
I wouldn't be surprised if Rex Ryan retaliates and says something again tomorrow. That's going to probably prompt Geno Smith to say again.
He needs to just be quiet and just be happy about the day that he had today, and it was a good showing for him, and that's what everybody should be focusing in, not on his relationship with Rex Ryan, a coach that's not even in the NFL anymore.
All right, Dave, let me talk about this Eli Manning press conference. One of the more shocking things that he said, told the media, that there was no way that he would have gone into a game knowing that he would be pulled out at halftime.
And that's Eli Manning as a football player and as a quarterback. I mean, this is a player that had a torn tendon in his foot and didn't miss a single rep in practice because he knows how important it is to be accountable for one another. And when you prepare as a football player, prepare to win. Prepare to earn your job each and every play that you have an opportunity. And for them to say, well, you're going to go out there, you're going to play the first half, but regardless of whether you're playing well or if the offense is doing well and we're winning the game, you're going to come out anyways. So you respect the fact that, once again, him showing his character, it's never been about individual things for him. It's always been about winning and the football team. And I know that you'll follow up with that, Antrell.
Well, what I got from that more than anything is Eli was basically saying, I'm not built that way. That's what he was saying. And more importantly, we all know that Eli is the first guy in the building.
Yep.
He's the last guy to leave. Yep. Preparation is his job. That's what gets him on top of his game. That's why he's a peak performer. He can't prepare like that. So, I mean, I understand exactly what he's saying. And like he said, he was very knowledgeable of the fact that they gave him that option. He just professionally declined, rightfully so.
All right, we got to hit our final segment here on Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Stay with us. We'll wrap up the Giants 24-17 loss to the Oakland Raiders. Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. And welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. If you missed any part of the show that you want to watch again, there are three airs of our show tonight, and four of them tomorrow. That is Monday, December 4th. We're on our final segment here on Giants Post Game Live, the Giants losing to the Oakland Raiders 24-17. One thing that we did not get to, Ontrell Roll, that you had a lot of opinions on these missed opportunities from the cornerbacks. That was Landon Collins and Brandon Dixon, who was just elevated from the practice squad 5 days ago, but he missed a gimme. I mean, these are like gift interceptions, and you were talking about that it's actually the hardest thing to catch these interceptions. I can't imagine how you can't catch it. What are your thoughts on when the ball is just right there and just drops it?
Well, not only have I have a lot of opinions about that, yeah. I've had quite a few in my career.
No,
I've had about five.
I don't believe it.
I've had maybe four in 1 year alone.
Okay. But why does that happen? Why?
I think it's just the fact that defenders, we don't get an opportunity to get the balls in our hands that many times within the course of a year. So, you know, just the anticipation and then the ones that are so easy, it seems like it takes forever and a day to get to you and you just want to make sure you catch it and you're already thinking about the run and all of a sudden it's, uh-oh. And then, you know, the opportunity's gone.
That's where you play defense, and he was wise right there.
I agree. But we catch the tough ones.
I agree, because time just slows down. All right, looking forward to next week. The Giants have a couple of home games, and the Dallas Cowboys are headed into town. Amani, this is when you can see this show. It's Sunday, December 10th at 1 p.m. Amani, your thoughts on playing a heated division rival. This is kind of an extended bye week for them. They got the win on Thursday night.
Well, I don't think if you're the Giants, you need to worry about anything but playing this team coming in. You know, they're a team that's offensive line really came to play this last week versus Washington, and you know they need to really focus in on executing as well as they did today, so maybe that they can have a win. I think Geno Smith and this quarterback and offensive line have their work cut out for them. Going against this Cowboys team that's in the playoff hunt.
And this is a Giants team that needs to come out swinging and starting fast in a home game because Dallas had four takeaways, three of them in the first half. They had a touchdown on special teams. Alfred Morris ran for over 120 yards. So they're trying to simulate Ezekiel Elliott still being there and take that pressure off of Dak Prescott and take that pressure off of that defense. So for this Giants team, you have to focus, learn from this one, but make sure that when you play this Cowboy team, you come out starting fast.
Yeah. Giants need to be home wreckers right now, right? Yep. Wrecking people's playoff opportunities.
Geno Smith's going to have his hands full with that. Damn, Giants. Cowboys defense. All right, that's all the time we got here on Giants Postgame Live. Thank you for joining us. We will see you next week right here on it.